Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Discover luxurious duvet sets today. Visit harrycurry.com for stylish comfort this spring.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Alice Lyons is on the line, so to speak. Alice, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
And you're on to Dublin, the Sligo line. And on the train, that famous train line, immortalised in song and story and fable. And what happened when you were on the Sligo to Dublin train?
Yeah, I was just, minding my business, reading. And, I just started to hear this meeting on Zoom. The man was on his laptop, probably three or four rows in front of me, and it was like I was in the meeting. I heard them discussing budget issues and people's names, and I don't know, it was some kind of council meeting or something like that.
Okay.
It was a private meeting that I was really a part of because I was sitting on the train.
And even though you mentioned three or four rows, he wasn't using headphones.
No, he was on the laptop with no headphones. So
you could hear him and them.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. I waited for a while thinking he was going to sort it. And then I went up to him and said, excuse me, but I'm in your meeting. I hear everything, including budget numbers.
Yeah.
And he just looked at me like I wasn't there. He just blanked me. And so I went back to my seat and just tolerated it for the rest of the trip.
And did the meeting go on?
Yeah, it went on. Yeah, I just tuned it out after that, Joe, really. But it went on. It went on till we got to Sligo. It might have wound up just before that. But anyway, I tried and, kind of rolled. The other passengers around me were rolling with their eyes as well.
And do you think
it's not the
people?
First time.
But do you think the people on the screen who could be heard by and seen by you or seen by people nearby, do you think they knew they were in a public meeting?
No, they didn't. And he was on mute, so when he wasn't speaking, he had his microphone muted. So they didn't hear me interrupt him. I was kind of hoping they would,
and they couldn't hear the rickety. Well, there's not much of a rickety rack on the track anymore, but that beautiful rhythmic sound. Yeah,
yeah, the announcements of when we were getting to stations and stuff. He was on mute, so they weren't hearing them.
Okay, and previous experience, as the fella said.
There are, I've heard over the years. I've heard lots of phone conversations and arguments between couples and, all kinds of stuff. But I said, when I contacted you, I said, in Poland, they have a great solution, which is just on the longer train routes, the equivalent of Dublin to Sligo, they've got a silent car. So you can book that ahead. And it's just, it's a car that has digital screens in it that tell passengers the rules, which are, if you have to make a phone call, make it short and quiet. No loud conversation and no music. And when the conductors come around, they check, if somebody, I was on once when somebody was having a loud conversation and I saw them, ask the people to be quiet. But it's just, to me, it seems like an easy start towards addressing the problem so that people like me, who I really value quiet, can just, book it and not get into ructions with people who are, in Zoom meetings without headphones.
Well, that's not the problem. The people worry they might get into a row that they don't want. They don't want.
Exactly.
Stay with us for a sec if you can, Alice, because Patricia was on the famous Blue Mountains train in Sydney, but you were checked, weren't you, Patricia, by another passenger?
Oh, hi, Joe. Yes, on the way back, we just went into a carriage, my husband and I, and I talk a lot, and then this lady kind of put her hand up, and I looked, and she pointed to the sign.
And the sign?
Quiet carriage.
Okay. And how did you get on, Patricia?
I kept quiet, Joe.
Okay. And was that difficult, Patricia?
Well, we could have moved carriage, really, couldn't we, Joe?
Well, it's a bit OT. Is it a bit unfair? You're on a beautiful train, a beautiful scenery, and you can't chit-chat to your travel companion, even in a whisper.
Well, maybe I did whisper an odd time, but I actually thought Yeah, it's fair enough. I actually don't mind chatting on trains, people, but other people would like it quiet, and they had a choice, didn't they?
Ian Roderan have been on to say they have a quiet carriage on our Cork services, and it is very well received, so to speak.
Yes. Well, we're the Galway. We're Galway Dublin.
Well, you'd never, and there isn't one. You'd never enforce a quiet carriage on the Galway train. Patricia, stay there, Patricia. Laura, good afternoon. 51551 is our text number. Laura.
Good afternoon, Joe. Welcome back.
You're good. Thanks indeed. You were on the Westport train to Dublin.
I was on the Westport Houston on Monday week, last week. And I haven't been using the trains at all of late. So I decided to use it on Monday. I was away in the West for the weekend. And there was a man opposite me on two FaceTime calls, discussing his hangover and where he was going the next night. And there was another young man who had music, but he actually turned it off. My main point, Joe, is that there should be a quiet carriage on every train. Mm. And I know Aaron know there and have one on the Cork Dublin route. Their explanation for that is, it's a longer train and there's more people on it. Yes. Now, sorry, excuse my language, bullshit. Like, that's nonsense. So there are people on the Galway Dublin, there are people on the Westport Dublin who would like a quiet train. And they say that I did a little bit of research on it, that disability groups in particular like these quiet carriages for people who have autism or Asperger's or dementia, that they work very well. And they claim that 300,000 people benefit by this quiet. So why is it only on Dublin Cork? It is very irritating if you get into the train, which is really comfortable, and you have to listen to people talking about their business. Well, so you should be a quiet option.
You've already given the Ian Road Aaron reply, but I'll give it again. And they say we have fewer services on the Westport route and the Cork route. We've 8 carriage trains every hour, on the hour, whatever the time it is, and we've more space, basically.
But Joe, that really doesn't make any logical sense, does it? I mean, if there are people travelling, even on a shorter train, it doesn't matter really what length the train is. I know they're saying that there's more room for people, but if you get into a quiet carriage by mistake or because there isn't another seat, then you have to abide by that rule. You have to be quiet.
And who will police it?
Well, my ticket was checked twice from Westport to Houston by a ticket inspector, twice. So surely he could double up and say, sorry, but you're in a quiet carriage. Can you turn that off?
Ian Roderan again, we've a campaign. I'll whisper this. Ian Roderan say, we have a campaign where we regularly publicise on all our services, encouraging people to be mindful of others and to whisper and speak quietly on your phone and use headphones if you're listening to music and other content, which is back to the normal level on the train.
That's nonsense. Yeah, that's really doesn't make sense.
But is it
quiet carriage on the train?
But are we not just asking? We're not just encouraging people to take care of others and cognizance of others.
Yeah, absolutely, of course we should, and people shouldn't be shouting on trains. But if you put 4, particularly women, around a table in a train, and they're going home or they're going away for the weekend, they're not going to sit there in silence.
Yeah, but that's part of the crack.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. You should have a quiet carriage where those people who don't want that can go into the quiet carriage.
Okay. And you don't take Aaron Road Aaron's line that we don't have, pardon the pun, that we don't have enough carriages on the line, so to speak.
Well, there were 5. I think there were 5 carriages on my train from Westport to Dublin.
Okay, stay with us, Joe. Stay with us. I just want to bring Tommy in, who's from the west of Ireland. Tommy, what happened to you in your case?
Yeah, hi, Joe. I went to Dublin yesterday. I went up to see the Irish language film on Taifa in the Lighthouse Cinema, and I took the train from here in Galway at 2:40, and there were a group of 6 people then that joined the train as well in Galway, and 2 of them were at the table that I was at. And they weren't too bad, but the the four that were sitting directly across from me, they were just extremely loud. They were young people in their, I suppose they'd be in their mid-20s, men, and they were just extremely loud. And I did have headphones. Now, thankfully, I had my headphones with me. But even with my headphones and my radio at full volume, I found it extremely hard to, you know, to actually listen to it. They were just so loud. And now, I didn't say anything to anybody because, like, I was on my own there. And I kind of felt that if I said something, things... But they were actually drinking as well. Like, they had cans, you know. Yeah. But there was a security guy that walked through the carriage a few times, and he had, I think it was just security written on him. And, you know, I mean, they were just so loud. But, I mean, he just walked up and down and didn't say anything to any of them. And but just in contrast, then, when I was coming back in evening...
But, Tommy, isn't the problem on a train as opposed to a bus or Lewis or... a shorter journey. When you're on a train, you're trapped on the train. When you're on a bus or a Lewis, you can press the you can do it on the train, but people thankfully only do it in rare critical emergencies. But when you're on a train, you're stuck in a train. So if you get into a row with somebody, you've no if they took umbrage.
Well, that's it. You see, like that was about the last thing that I wanted to happen. You know. So that's why I didn't say anything. And
did you notice any signs? I'm sorry for interrupting you. Signs. Aaron wrote there and said we've signs up saying, please respect other passengers. Did you see any Irish or English?
I didn't see any signs. Like when you are on a train or a bus, you know, you are aware that there's other people around and there will be a certain amount of conversation. And I was just saying there, like when I came down in the evening, and there were a lot of Offaly supporters who had been up at the match, and their team actually won. So you would expect them to be boisterous. There were teenagers, there were families.
Great day for them. But,
Yeah, but there was the usual historic talk that they would be having. I mean, they didn't bother me at all, you know, what I heard. But it was just these that they were so close to me, and I suppose there were the four of them at the other table. They were just so loud.
And you use that train often, Tommy. Is it Dublin to Galway the noisiest? And vice versa.
Well, to be honest with you now, that's the worst experience I had in a while. Now, in fact, I thought actually, like I used to experience something like that before. You might get on a Friday, say, from the Dublin to Galway train because people would be going away for the weekend.
Yeah, for a bit of crack.
I expected it to be, because it was an early afternoon train, I expected it to be very quiet. But these guys were obviously in Galway for the weekend. They had good... You know, they obviously had a good time and they were just in good
spirits. Well, Tommy, just to go back to the point that's been raised, the most common point is a quiet carriage. Would you be in favour of that?
Oh, yeah, totally. Absolutely.
I'll do the quick poll. I'll ask Patricia before she has to go. Patricia, would you be in favour of a quiet carriage?
Oh, yes, I wouldn't.
Oh, you would? Okay.
But I'm not.
You won't be availing. You won't be availing of it.
Oh, I quite like listening to banter and chat.
Well, remember, Patricia...
I'm a nosy Parker.
Yes, I was on the bus yesterday, the 130. I love the journey. I never wear headphones. I was on the train to Wexford a few Saturdays ago. There was a group of women and it was the funniest conversations. They couldn't see me, but the funniest conversations. And they're all joking and laughing. Patricia, I'm remembering Maeve Binchy. Remember Maeve Binchy used to say, I got all my great lines from sitting on the upstairs of the 46A going into town listening to people. And there's even more of it now because of their mobile phones. So you are in favour of a quiet carriage, Patricia, but you wouldn't avail of it.
No. I might write a book then, mightn't I?
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Try it. Likewise, Patricia. Safe travelling. Laura, so you say quiet carriage. There's no hope. Is there any hope of us chastising other people to try and be a little bit temperate?
Joe, I'd be terrified to say anything to anyone in this day and age, to be truthful. Honestly, I would, really. Now, I don't mind people talking to each other.
Of course,
do pick up some fun, but not doing business or taking FaceTime calls. And I just think there should be an option to go to a quiet carriage if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, okay. Did you notice any signs saying, please?
No, I didn't notice any. No, I didn't. Now, they could have been there, Joe, but I didn't notice them.
Well, they're not much good if they're there and nobody notices them.
Not really, no. That's true. It's useless, yeah.
Okay, stay if you can, Laura. Stay on the train if you can, Laura. We're pulling into Ballinasloe now. Brenda Fahey, Brendan. Brendan.
Oh, yes, Joe. How are you doing?
You were in Japan.
Oh, is that the World Cup, Joe?
The Rugby World Cup. Good man.
I went to the three World Cup finals that Ireland were in.
Okay.
In 1990 in Italy and 94 in the States.
Okay, well, tell us about your train experience.
Yeah, indeed. Well, I booked a ticket on the Shinkansen for 2 weeks.
Okay.
I remember it was €200 at the time. But you could travel all over Japan, and traveling in those bullet trains,
you're
doing like 180 miles an hour, like.
Wow.
Or maybe more. And,
okay.
You could travel long. I travelled a lot of Japan, and I'd love to travel more. But it's a fine country.
So go back on track, Brendan. What was your experience on the train in terms of noise?
When I heard you on about that, from my recollection, was you wouldn't be allowed to make a phone call at all. No one would be allowed. I'd imagine if they were allowing it, you see, it would be a case of necessity having to do so.
Okay.
Because hundreds and hundreds of people were travelling on that train for work. They were all in all the Japanese were dressed to kill in their three-piece suits collar and tie and the whole lot.
But it's Japan, so the train was quiet for the 2 weeks you were there. But it's Japan itself. Even the train stations, I'm told, are very quiet.
Oh, yeah, but it's a great business. Like the way they do, they move millions every day in Tokyo, Yokohama area, and it's so everything is so much to order. Yeah, it was very interesting. When I went down to, I arrived in Sydney about after the World Cup was over, I went there and arrived in a train in Sydney and it was 12 minutes late.
Oh, my God.
I said to myself, we're back at home in Ireland.
Where are you off to next, Brendan?
All late.
Where are you off to next?
Oh, I'd love to go back to that part of the world to see. I'd love to go back to Australia and New Zealand for a winter holiday, like our winter, their summer.
Oh yeah, good math.
You know, I have a niece over there. She's president of the Australasian Trauma Society in the world. And
say that to me again, Brent. The Australasia Trauma Society.
Yes. She's in the trauma unit in.
She's a medic, yeah.
In Melbourne Children's Hospital. That's where she started them.
Incredible.
She's married out here.
Brilliant.
She got out here. Her brother, one of mine, were all Ireland with Dublin in the 80s.
Yeah.
And he got playing for a team in Melbourne.
In Australia, yeah.
And she went out in and met her boyfriend. And
there we are now.
And there she's stopping the
list. Incredible job. Achievement. Okay, Brendan, keep travelling. Stay on track.
Thank you, and God bless.
Go to Mark at 51551 Joe at RT.ie. Maria, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Joe. Lovely to talk to you.
And we're pulling into Copenhagen station, are we now? Wonderful.
I just heard the lady from on the Dublin Sligo, and yes. I happen to come from Sligo, so it evoked a memory on the. Actually, it was going from Copenhagen to the Hans Christian Andersen Island, Odense, where John comes from in Svendborg.
Okay,
and. We hopped on the train, and you know the Danes, they're very law-abiding in a lot of instances, and they're quiet at the best of times. and maybe a bit dull too, and sometimes. But we were just having a normal conversation.
Yeah.
And the next thing, a staff member came by.
Yeah.
And said, "This is a quiet carriage."
Yeah.
And I don't think even John, because he's been out of the Denmark for a long time, really realized. And we of course, apologized and abided. It was totally silent. And this was at least 15 years ago. So the Danes were...
Do you travel on public transport here, Marie? You do, obviously.
I do. Yeah. I do indeed. And from... I'm here in Maynooth. Go from Maynooth, the 115. It's very good service into Dublin. And... yes, I mean, I also heard you. I mean, I've often enjoyed people's conversations, indeed.
Yes, yes.
But I love the radio, and especially if the Joe Duffy show is on.
Very good. And but you
I have my ear plugs.
You see, because I remember a story. It was actually led to a great discovery of someone we were looking for, a family were looking for, a family member they hadn't seen in 30 years. And the driver of the expressway bus, I think it was from Dublin to Mullingar, he had Liveline on the tannoy on the bus. He's obviously a driver of very good taste.
And
one of the person we were looking for didn't have a radio in her ear, but she heard it in the radio over the tannoy, and she said, "That's me they're looking for." And that's how we found that person. But anyway,
that's extraordinary.
It's great. Small world.
It is, absolutely. And I mean, of course, there are, as you made a reference there to Maeve Benchy, I mean, there are comic times.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times, too, I mean, if somebody, you know, just in the seat behind you and is on full steam.
I know.
You like to dial it down a little.
Sure do. Okay, Maria, good to meet
you,
Margaret. That's Maria David Boddinson. And you say your husband is Danish, and the Danish are very law-abiding, but he's been out of Denmark for years.
Adapted very well to the Irish norms.
The wild Atlantic ways. Our wild Atlantic ways. Okay, thank you indeed, right. Maria. Where's Gabriel? Thank you, Maria. Gabriel.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Joe.
Where's your nearest train station?
Well, I'm living in Bray.
Oh, Bray. You're Bray. You're busy. One of the busiest stations in the country.
It is, yes.
What is your plea?
Well, I was on the Belfast train last week.
Okay.
Up to a conference in Newry. And when I went to book, carriage G was the quiet carriage, but it was full.
Yeah.
And therefore there's carriages A to S. So there are six other carriages.
So it was pre-booked full?
It was pre-booked full.
Oh, that's how popular
it is. Wasn't available to book.
Yes.
So if it's that popular, why would they not maybe have two or three quiet carriages?
Yeah, but do you really want your train to be like a library, Gabriel?
Not all of it, no. Not all of it. And I got on a carriage where I was reading out there was other noise. I was able to tune it out. But there might be times when, as you say, if you want a meeting or if you want a quiet time. As I say, just... the one carriage was fully booked, which would suggest that there was demand for it. And maybe two or three carriages might be,
available.
Suggestion.
Yeah, it's quite okay. Well, Ian Roar there, I presume they're saying by the fact that the Cork route where we vacate carriages, we do have a quiet train, likewise on the Enterprise to Belfast. I presume as the trains get longer, the options get greater as well. By the way, did you see any signs asking passengers to respect their fellow passengers?
I didn't. No, I didn't particularly look, but I wasn't conscious.
Yeah.
There was music or there was something going on a few seats below me, which I was conscious of.
Okay.
But I tuned it out.
And have we become ruder as a nation?
I suppose we have more gadgets that have music.
And we more gadgets that have
platforms
for rudeness, anonymous rudeness, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. No, I take your point of when that lady who hurt herself on the bus, you were talking about the lady with the Mullingar or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, and it can be nice to have background noise, but it's to get a balance. Yeah. And as I say, one carriage out of seven. Maybe they could have two carriages out of seven.
Okay. I hope Ian Roderick can hear you, Gabriel. I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will. And do you go to Belfast frequently?
No, it's an annual conference.
Oh, wow. And you went into the new Belfast Central Station?
No, sorry. We only went as far as Newry.
Okay.
But it was the Enterprise. Well, I believe the station is up there.
Apparently so. Safe travelling, that's Gabriel. Joe at rt.ie 51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Breda's in Tipperary. Breda, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
Sorry for raising my voice. You don't like loud conversations, especially with young people.
Oh, no, I don't mind conversations in general, but these people weren't having... They were having squealing conversations.
Okay. Screaming.
No, squealing.
Oh, squealing.
You know, oh, my God, I haven't seen you in ages. This went on for about 15 minutes, and I just said, come on, girls. You know.
Yeah. And?
And they said, sorry.
And they dialed it down.
Yes, they dialed it down a notch, and that's all you'd want. I'm well able to talk myself, and I'm, you know.
Were they not just excited and having fun and the joys of adolescence and the joys of your teenage years?
Probably, Joe, but... It went into my brain and it wouldn't come out.
Okay. An earworm. And how did I react when you said dial it down?
Well, you see, this is the thing. I think people nowadays are shocked when you say something negative to them.
Yeah.
So they looked at me like, oh, sorry. It's like they're not corrected when they're children. You know what I mean? I'm not saying those people, but it's like they're never... I never said don't do this or don't do that, you know, because nowadays, of course, it's called don't break your spirit.
Don't break their spirit.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned they were girls, a group of young women. Would you say to a group of young men that were squealing?
I would.
Okay. No fear.
If I was on my own, probably not. But I had my partner with me, I probably would. But I'd say it like, come on. Not in a bad, not in a kind of a dominant way. I just say, lads, please, but, you know, we bought our tickets too.
Yeah.
You know.
But they did respond to your,
they did, and I appreciated it, yeah.
Okay, well done. That's Breda in Tipperary. In Yall, I don't think Yall has a railway station, does it, at this stage, Kay?
Not at the moment,
not
Joe.
The moment.
We're trying to get it back.
Yeah,
but we have a beautiful greenway, all right, you know, which is quite nice. And we're very grateful for, you know.
But we still want our railway tracks back.
Yeah, exactly. And
you were in Melbourne. What happened in Australia?
We were in Melbourne there a few years ago with my daughter, and we just arrived and we were staying in the outskirts, a place called Ferntree Gully. And we said we'd go into the city the following day.
Right.
And we just got on the train and we put our, just put our foot slightly on the seat, the two of us. And before we knew it...
And in fairness, Kay, were you tired?
Jesus. We were jet lagged.
Oh, you were jet lagged, of course.
Because we had just arrived, you see. And
so you were jet lagged. You were jet lagged on the train.
Yeah, jet-lagged on the train, exhausted, hanging.
Hanging, yes.
We'd no drink on it.
I know.
And the next thing before we knew it, oh my God, these two fellas came down. They were undercover train police.
Wow.
They had guns. Oh, Jesus, I nearly lost my life. They threatened to... kicked off the train. I thought it was a joke. I actually said, is this a joke? I couldn't believe it.
This is candid
camera. My God. We nearly came home. I was so upset. Jesus. We got off at the next stop. We didn't know where we were. We got such a fright. But
okay.
I'm saying, you know now in Australia.
About being sent home. But Kay, they were undercover, plain clothes. How do you know they had guns?
Well, they're kind of
bulging. Okay, you can see the gun. Okay,
so
wow.
I knew they meant business. I knew they meant business. Oh my God, my daughter. Oh Jesus, I thought I was nearly going to come home the following day. It's true as I'm here. I got such a fright. They gave us an awful doom. They were going to throw us off. They were going to fine us. They took out their books. Everything. Oh my God.
And Kay, did
I haven't been back since.
But Kay, did you tell them the story you've just told me in that lovely way, that you were tired and you were jet lagged and you were hanging.
Yeah. And I threw the Irish card as well, but they didn't take it.
Okay.
You know, I just said we're from Ireland and, you know, we didn't realise it was such, you know, that it was so strict here and everything, you know, but we got, oh my God. They were unbelievable. Now, they were, you know, they were heavy guys. Big, huge fellas, you
and
know.
So you got off the train in a daze. You're walking around in circles.
Yeah.
You're looking for your passport to go back home. What did you do?
They actually asked us for our passports. Yeah, they did.
Oh,
now, we had them. We were lucky. They did. They asked us, oh, my God almighty. I just said to my daughter, Alison, where's the nearest Irish pub? I said, I need a drink after this. Oh, God. But it just goes to show they're very strict over there. They're very strict.
We don't want armed guards generally, but we don't want armed guards on trains.
No, but my own daughter now is studying in Limerick and she often goes into the quiet, you know, she'd book the quiet carriage,
this one's right.
And, normally it's okay now. I think one time I should be saying there was a lot of noise there, but normally it's okay. Like, it's a good idea, I suppose, you know,
What's a better idea? You know? Reopen the Wexford to Waterford to Cork line. That's even a better idea.
I think they'll have to do it.
Yeah.
Well, we're fingers crossed now. We're hoping that the trailhead will be open at the end of the Greenway here shortly, you know. And then that will, you know, we need that opened as soon as possible.
Okay, we need our greenways, but don't use a redundant railway line that could be reopened as an excuse for a greenway.
Yeah,
we definitely build the greenways. Okay, Kay.
Yeah.
Okay, Kay.
Okay,
that's Kay Corton. Thanks indeed.
We're pulling into
the train station, the northernmost train station in the world in Siberia. Regina.
Hi, Joe. Good afternoon.
What'll I wear?
I'm in Galway at the moment.
Okay.
But no, it was just I was listening to your programme and I was laughing to myself.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, it mightn't really be relevant, but this isn't really a complaint, but it was more of an experience. During the early 2000s, I was travelling to a place called Perm in the Ural Mountains. And we got the train from Moscow to Perm. It's 23 and a half hours, Joe.
Oh, yes.
And I remember thinking you would never complain about Corus Umper Éireann or CIE ever, ever again. It was an experience. I mean, there were no loos of any description. There was sort of a hole in the ground that you were supposed to squat over if you needed to go.
Yeah.
There certainly weren't any culinary delights. I remember passing a guy with a bloody apron and a sort of a cleaver in his hand. I don't know what he was doing or who he was accommodating. But I think my outstanding memory, Joe, was, I mean, it was a beautiful journey in the sense that you crossed, you know, the plains of Russia and the scenery changed.
Yeah,
but the further east you went, the train did stop every so often, but the further east you went, the facial features of people changed. They were more Mongolian and they were getting off the train with massive amounts of furniture, dressed in furs, fur boots, fur hats. But there was, I don't know what the Russian word is for a train guard, but this enormous female guard.
Mm-hmm.
I remember attempting to open a window because it was stifling. It was summer when we went. And niet, niet, niet. And she came charging in. And I tell you, you wouldn't mess with this one. She reminded me of, remember, Joe, the the James Bond movies.
Yeah, of course.
The Russian, the ugly Russian spy, and you know she had black lace shoes like a nun.
A caricature, but, yeah. But yes, but she said, "Yet, you can't open a window."
Yes, yes.
And was there?
My God!
And what was it? Was there any comfort? You had a seat,
no.
I presume. Did you have a bed?
Well, they, God love them. The ballet company had booked us their idea of what was first class travel, but you were sitting on a very hard bench, you know, like the benches you see at the seaside, the ones with the gap in between.
If you didn't have a well-cushioned
posterior, you were in trouble. But I mean, it was some adventure, but you sure as hell wouldn't give out about CIE ever again, you know.
And are you still, so, now correct me if I'm right, as a fella said, are you still involved with the Galway Ballet Academy?
That's me.
Oh, that's so brilliant. I was wondering where I saw your name before.
No, but years ago, Joe, I just got the idea. Ballet was sort of unheard of, really, in the west of Ireland. And I thought they need to see the best. And I got this mad idea to go to Russia and to... They'd never heard of Ireland in Perm at the time, but they were wonderful to work with them. They were very hospitable. They came for 10 years to Ireland.
Wow.
They came to Galway and they were wined and dined and feted by everybody, you know. It was fantastic, yeah. But that was the train journey.
And how long have you been running the Galway Ballet Academy?
Joe, on the public airways, it'll be 40 years next year.
Well done.
Can you believe it?
Congratulations. Congratulations. Well done. Brilliant.
Would you go back
to Siberia, so to speak?
Oh, yes.
You would? I
would. I mean, the city itself was a city of over a million people, but during the communist era, it was a closed missile
city. Of course,
So they were really, they had no idea. I think initially, the first time we went, it was there about five times, the very first time I went, they really did think we were spies because we were followed everywhere by men in suits. They couldn't understand how some lunatic from a place they'd never heard of was coming to ask them would they come to Ireland.
To dance.
You know? Exactly.
Okay, well, keep pirouetting in your pilet and your relieve and everything else you do, Regina. Safe travelling above all else. joe@rt.ie.
Mary, thanks a lot, Joe.
Thank you, Regina. From Galway, we're going to stop now in Kilkenny Station. Marianne.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
You're back. Well, I see. I love your headline. In praise of loud young people. Here. Go ahead.
There's a bit of a bit too much negativity there about the young. I remember going on the trains from Kilkenny to Dublin in the 70s and 80s, late 70s and early 80s.
Yeah.
And you could get a full breakfast and have your beer or your whiskey or your whatever. And the banter was mighty and it was, you know. And we're giving out about young people, you know, being on their mobile phones and not communicating. And then when they do communicate and have a bit of banter and a bit loud, you know, let them have a bit of fun. I mean, it's only a few hours on the train.
Yeah.
And I sit back and I listen to them and it's great gallery just listening to the young people and what they'd be going on about, you know.
And it's nothing new to our society. Older people complaining about. I was reading a book there in the last few weeks, Silas Marner by George Eliot, and that's 1861, and the pub in it is the Rainbow Pub. It's set in England. And in the Rainbow Pub, all the outfielders are sitting there giving out about the young people. And how the times in 1830 and 1810 were much better than they were in 1860. Sure, it's the same now, isn't it?
It's the same now.
It is. What's your last line there? Stop being fuddy-duddies.
Stop being fuddy-duddies and let them have a bit of fun and sit back and enjoy the ride. You know, it's amazing what you can hear when you hear young lads and young girls screech about.
Okay.
Let them have a bit of fun.
Yeah.
All right, Joe.
Marianne, thanks a million. joe@rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
joe@rt.ie. Paul O'Callaghan. Paul, good afternoon.
Good to hear you again, Joe.
Good.
I'm rolling back the clock to 1962.
Oh, off you
when
go.
The Irish ran the stations in London, Paddington, the whole lot of them.
Yeah.
And my eldest brother, a family attendant was, he went to work in London and he got a job in Paddington Station at 14 years of age as a porter.
Good lad.
Harold Macmillan was Prime Minister of England.
Yeah.
And he used that station regularly. without any security, he came to the station anyhow.
Yeah.
Eugene was on the... he came to Eugene and he said, is my carriage ready like that? He said, stand by. He said, like that. Another half an hour, he said, Prime Minister, like that. And he said, come on with me. He said, no security, no nothing. He went down, he sat with him for a half an hour. And he asked him where he's from. I said, I'm from Carrickenshore, he said, in southern Tipperary.
Brilliant.
He said,
brilliant.
Oh, that's great, he said. He said, I go to Lismore every year and I fish on the Blackwater. And of course, I think Fred Astaire was married into that estate there, as far as I know.
Okay.
But, yeah, he sat with him for half an hour there. And the following day, anyhow, he got the station master came to him and he said... see, the big thing at that time, Joe, when Harold Macmillan came in, he was a big tipper.
And okay.
There was a lot of a lot of competition to get this stool. And I said, what was the stool? I said to Eugene, my eldest brother. He said, you put down the stool and you stepped onto the train and you got your half a crown. That was the tip. That was the big thing at that time.
That would have been nearly a week's wages.
A week's wages in Ireland. He left in Ireland that I hope we don't come back to again with what's going on in America, but we won't go there anyway about that. So the following day, the station master came to me. He said, Eugene, he said, go down and open the main gate. He said, Elizabeth Taylor is coming in.
Oh, magic.
And next thing, anyway, Eugene went down, he opened the gate. The Rolls-Royce came in, the window came down.
Yeah.
And out came a £10 note.
Ah.
Well, the gist of the story was she was in to collect Richard Burton.
Of course.
Who had gone to watch England play in Wales.
Right.
2 weeks previously, Richard Burton had separated from a Welsh woman in his marriage and it didn't go down too well with the Welsh supporters. And let's say Richard wasn't the better of the wares after the outcome anyhow, and she had come to the station to collect him. So she drove in the car, we clicked Richard Burton and off she went, and they became the most famous couple for the next 10-15 years. They were Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt of this time, like, you know,
They sure were.
But a lot of Watford, Alfie Hale, that played, my other brother
Red
Jimmy was
player,
on the stations, he worked in the stations as well. And Alfie Hale and all those good Waterford soccer players, they were all playing with London clubs at that time. They were regular travellers on the trains all over England. But they met the Irish ran the show in London that time, Joe, on the train-wise and that, like, you know.
They could have fair play to Harold Macmillan. Fair play to him in terms of... And he was renowned for his wit and his unflappability, apparently, in those days. Thank you, Paulette. And, by the way, your brother, that was 14 when he went to London. 14, guys, listen to
14,
that.
14, he went to London work. With two adults, sure, to our cousins,
Two cousins, but still. And he's still a young man, but 63 when he went.
Well, Eugene is in his 80s now, and he's fighting the fights at the moment with health and that. But he's in Tralee, so wishing the best of luck and all that.
Okay, Paul.
Joe, before we go, there was one other brother with my meeting Cork here lately, and there's something important I want to say to you. Leo worked in the House of Commons in 1975, and diarrhea were after bombing the House of Commons.
Right.
And everything had to be put back exact. It was the oldest part of the House of Commons, and Leo was a carpenter, well trained, and all that. But all the timbers had to be put back from estates in England, the same timber that went in a couple of hundred years before.
Of course,
But Leo was in the office there for 6 months, and who was around him the whole time for the 6 months was Maggie Thatcher inside in the office. And I said to Leo, were you visited or anything? No one visited.
Okay, different.
Just the height of the troubles. Maggie Thatcher was walking around him every day, he said, and there's some amazing stories, the two of them.
Different times.
I had six brothers that went to England, like, you know,
As you say, different times, and we don't want them back, do we, in that sense? We want your family back. And they did. They made good lives, but there were different times. Thanks, Paul. That's Paul O'Callaghan. Cormac McCran. Cormac, good afternoon.
Hiya, Joe.
You were on a train in the UK. Very noisy passenger. What happened?
That's right. Well, there had been... I wrote a letter to the Telegraph about this, Joe. There had been a series of letters.
This now is the London Telegraph, not the Connacht Telegraph.
The Daily Telegraph.
Of London, yes.
Yeah, and there had been a series of complaints in the Telegraph, the letters section, over the previous few days about people losing their signal on the train.
Oh, their phone signal,
So I wrote a letter about this. It might be easier for me to read the letter.
Please do, not too long, yes.
No, and the caption on the letter, which is by the Telegraph, says, silence by numbers.
Okay.
And my letter said, sir, The elimination of phone coverage black spots on trains would be double-edged.
Uh-huh.
While I was travelling from London to Birmingham recently,
mm-hmm.
a particularly loud passenger in the seat in front gave her phone number to the listener at the other end.
Oh, my God.
I seized the opportunity, scribbled her number in the margin of my telegraph, okay. and then texted her, asking if she always shouted on the phone. And my final bit was, it all went very quiet after that, and I was able to peruse my paper in peace.
And you destroyed the phone number, obviously.
Oh, of course. But that went viral, Joe. That was picked up by all the main media. And they tweeted it, and it was people contacting me from all over the world about this.
And did you see her reading your text with surprise?
Oh, yes. And what I didn't say in the letter actually was that she texted me back.
Oh, right.
And apologized. And I just,
okay.
She didn't know I was directly behind her. So she and I just sent her a laughing emoji and a thumbs up or something, but we just left it.
All right.
But the Mail on Sunday wanted to interview me. They got a hold of me somehow or other. The Sunday Times said this guy needs to be watched. That was their comment when they saw the letter on Twitter, because it went out on Twitter. And actually, this was around the time when the News of the World was in trouble for bugging phones.
Oh yeah.
So I responded to them by saying I thought you were in enough trouble as it is. But yeah.
And are you still in the UK? You are, obviously.
I'm sort of between here and there.
Okay.
I'm actually in Dublin at the moment, but I spent a fair bit of time. We have family in the UK. And all.
Okay, well done. And Cormac, do you still have the letter? Do you still have the cutting from the Telegraph?
No, I probably have somewhere, but it's online.
That's
all you have to do. The Independent caption, even though the letter was to the Telegraph, the Independent, which is an online newspaper, their caption on the letter was, "Daily Telegraph readers are the masters of passive-aggressive behaviour." So if you Google that, the letter comes straight up.
Okay. The masters of
passive-aggressive behaviour.
Okay.
So they thought it was passive aggressive.
Okay, Cormac Goodermill Malgut. Enjoy your time between the UK and Ireland. That's Cormac McCran. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Keep the light out with our new ranges of blackout curtains and blinds, perfect for a peaceful sleep and a brighter start.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
You could say that Wayne Rooney never gets a break in the UK media. Well, he took a toilet break the other morning, early on Saturday morning, apparently. And there was, as per usual, photographers, and it's all over the newspapers today, and he's getting a very hard time. Jess, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Did you see the photographs?
I didn't see the photographs, but I've heard about them. And it's just, I just wonder how somebody can come out of the hotel and pee on a wall instead of actually using the facilities within the hotel. I mean, I've had problems myself with my own people peeing on my own front door and pee coming in under it. And
on your front door?
Yes. There was a gateway, and there's a gateway beside it. They didn't even use the gateway. They used my front door. It's just absolutely disgusting habit that happens. And these people, I'm sure Wayne Rooney or nobody else that does it will have wipes in his pocket to clean his hands. So everything he touches after that is actually contaminated.
And does your front door face onto the street, Jess?
It is on the street, yeah.
Opens onto the street.
Yes.
Oh, for God's sake.
And there's no reason to actually do that.
I know. And is it, are you near a pub or
a hotel? There's a few pubs around, yeah. It's disgusting. I mean, even if I wasn't near a pub. Well, one guy had actually he was after walking about from one town to my town, about 10, 11 kilometres, and he couldn't find a hedge on the way over to pee, and he had to come to my front door to do it instead. Like, I mean, that's disgusting. And then when I was extremely excited about it, he said, "I said sorry. Isn't that enough?" I'm thinking, it's not enough. He shouldn't have done it in the first place. Absolutely revolting. And the other person, decided that it was okay that the house, oh, there's nobody living in this house, so, you know, it's not a problem. And I was actually inside because my dogs had started barking and I had gone out to see what the story was. And a little puddle comes in under my door.
Ah, for God's sake.
Which I then had to clean up. You know, I mean, it's revolting.
And Jess, have you ever been returning, given that your home opens onto the street, have you ever been returning to your house and you saw somebody at your door?
The first one was I actually saw him. I was in my car just about to get out of it when I saw him doing it and chased him down the street to give him what's for. And the other person, well, I was on the inside and, you know, I opened the door immediately when I saw the little puddle and... you know, went after him and he, of course, ran off to the car. And I asked him, did he need diapers? Because I could get some for him if he wanted them. Like, I mean, it's just, like, and why?
You come out of a pub, which has loos, obviously.
Yes.
And off you go. Did anyone ever profess, Jess, that there's no public toilets around here? What am I supposed to do?
They couldn't really. The pub was still open.
Okay.
But I mean, why? And like you have somebody then like Wayne Rooney, who is looked up to by people.
Mm-hmm.
And like he's there on a phone, you know, peeing away and then just walks off. Why?
I just feel that. Anyway, it's no one likes to see it, and especially if it obviously wasn't an emergency. Sure, it wasn't. I think that's fair to say. But I just hope. His children. He's an affable chap by all accounts. Colleen is a superstar.
Why do men in general think that that's fine? That you can just sort of.
But when you say it's not harming anyone, your point is if someone is peeing on your hall door and in under your hall door, they're spreading their germs, to say the least.
Yes, but they're spreading them anyway because there's no way if you've come out of somewhere where you have access to a sink to wash your hands. Your hands are not clean.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how germs spread. That's how things like that. I mean,
and there's no way you can put... You know, you put a sign in no junk mail deliveries. Can you put a sign up saying no deliveries of a liquid sort either?
I haven't done that. Maybe I should, but I don't really want to.
No,
nothing's exactly nice things with your door.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
Don't
pee on my doorstep. Okay.
Well, with some people, it might actually be a target.
Okay, apparently some people, this is not recommended, but apparently some people put a bit of an electric current.
Yeah, you'd be very tempted to.
But Jess, can I answer the other question? Have all the offenders, have all the culprits, have they all been male?
Yes.
I rest my case.
Yes, so do I.
And you wish they would rest their case as well?
Yes, arrest them somewhere where it's more suitable.
Yes, take their case to a higher court with a urinal. Stay with us for a second. Yes, go on.
Sorry, I've heard now that they're actually having some places they're converting their toilets to unisex toilets. I mean, the male toilets are the ones that nobody wants to be next nine or near because they usually stink. You know, why would women have to put up with that?
Yeah.
I just don't think it's edifying. It's not... You know, and apart from anything else, I mean, I worked abroad in an Asian country and people were dressing up as women and going in and raping women and all that. So,
a different argument.
You know,
there,
I'm not saying that
debate.
That would happen here, but be unlikely to. But that's just wondering, what is it telling people?
A debate is there, definitely. Thanks indeed, Jess. Good morning. John O'Connor is in Ennis.
Hello, Joe. Can I talk to you?
Come on. It's a train station. The train line from Ennis to Galway has reopened, hasn't it?
It has. There's ferocious business. I've got a child in college up there.
Brilliant. Great.
It's very accessible.
Okay. Let's move on then to... you say you're demented by people who are doing all sorts of ungodly things with their bodily fluids.
Yeah. And listen, this goes back to a story maybe about 12 years ago. We had a business in Ennis, Custy's traditional music shop. And when we opened up, we moved to a new premises just off the main street in Ennis. Now, Ennis is a beautiful town.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I suppose what confronted us then was a prolonged attack, anally, orally, bladder-wise. Okay, everything was being deposited outside our door.
So your doorway was being used as a public toilet?
Our doorway was, and it's just off a main street. But, you know, to
when I mentioned the electrical
depravity.
When I mentioned the electrical charge there to Jess, it was your story, isn't it? What did you do?
It was. But, I mean, Joe, this reached to the extent that the letterbox has been opened and urine was being directed in. Okay, so we had everything outside the door, from vomit to defecation to bladder relief. So something had to be done. And I suppose everyone is saying, God, look, it happens, okay, get over it, okay. But I always thought that if you give that's tacit approval to continuation of that depravity, and it is a depravity, you know, when you direct your ire at someone else's property, and we come in Monday morning, we clean up the deposits that are there, and they were pretty substantial deposits.
And what, you'd use a power hose and bleach and...
Power hose down my knees, just clean up, you know, feces. It was an abomination. Nobody should be confronted with this.
And the solution, the solution you came up was not bleach or domestos, it was of a different kind.
It was. I live out the country in a beautiful place just outside Ennis, and I met a farmer friend of mine. I was talking one day and I asked him, could I have one of his substitute electric fence boxes? So I brought it in. We had metal, with a metal barrier on our two doors, okay? So I connected up the electric fence.
Oh, my gosh.
Put up a sign which said, electric fence in operation, urinate at your own peril.
Good luck.
Now, it got loads of attention. It travelled the world. News must have been in scarce supply at that stage. But it went all over. But to cut a long story short, it was very successful. Because what it did was it confronted people, and it confronted people to the extent that there are victims of your deposits, okay? Mm. And it became pretty known, and I suppose as time went on, it stopped outside our shop anyway. Now, I can understand to a certain extent people get stuck, okay?
Yeah.
But
were you near a pub, John? Or?
There's pubs all over in us, okay?
Every pub has a toilet. By law.
It has a toilet, and I suppose, you know, toilets might be full. Like, I'm given no kind of absolution to pubs or, it's the people. I'm kind of, like, you can go down maybe further away from someone's property, okay? You can find a spot if you're badly stuck. Mm-hmm. No, but there is also kind of an imposition on councils to supply, not full toilets, but if you look at Amsterdam, they're very ergonomic urinals, okay, single place urinals. So with a bit of thought, okay, you could sort this out, you know. But I suppose I had to, I had to use extreme. I had to go to the extreme, kind of stop this, because it was getting out of control and it was going to put us out of business. It was that bad.
But if someone had done damage,
I would have stood up in any court and defended my right to protect my property against an onslaught of depravity. And that was my sense. Now, I got approached by the guards and said, John, you know, it's pretty illegal what you're doing. It may cause stress, it may cause injury, but I said, look, I've taken note of what you've said, okay, but nobody's doing anything to stop this. So I went ahead, and it worked. Over a period of time, it stopped completely.
Yeah. But did it work because of the publicity rather than the electricity?
There was one case where someone was urinating one night. Now, we had CCTV and we had spotlights. And unlike Jess, it was a unisex kind of position where you had male and female exposing themselves. You know, so probably publicity, but also, you know, people began to think this is morally corrupt. Would you do it in your own backyard?
Yeah,
you would not, okay? Gives you the right?
Yeah, but there's even a phrase, isn't there, in the vocabulary about doing things on your own doorstep. Paul, John, did you investigate? Would the skin need to touch the electric fence or the liquid?
No. I remember when we were young, out the country, okay, picking up stones, whatever, okay, and actually just having a wee nearby, hitting a fence and getting a fair shock from it. So it travels, I'm sure it travels through the water, and I suppose with the salt content, okay, it's maybe a better conductor, but you could get experts in to verify that. But it does, it did work like that. Once there was a conduit, surely, or a circuit.
But surely there'll be damage. Seriously, the one of the most sensitive parts, if not the most sensitive part of the male anatomy and the female anatomy, to get an electric shock.
Yeah, well, remember, this is measured down a bit, okay? It's an electric fence. It converts it to a lower kind of a voltage, okay, to make sure it doesn't kill somebody.
Oh,
you know, but I suppose the whole idea was this was pretty indecent what was happening,
yeah,
and
okay.
It was getting out of control. And, you know, I felt I had to do something because if
and
I didn't, we'd have been out of business.
And he's still in business.
We've been in business 34 years.
Oh, good man.
You know, and Ennis is the most beautiful town to be in business. A beautiful town, medieval town. And it, like all towns, it has certain little problems, but they can be ironed out. There's a seriously constructive council there, especially recently.
Okay.
And
well
the town
done.
Has been renovated and it'll be a lovely town.
And you were speaking to the mayor of Ennis, John O'Connor, soon to be, because you're a great spokesperson and a great advertisement, John. Thanks, Niamh. That's John O'Connor below in Ennis. Paul is in Dublin. Paul.
Hello, how are you?
You're saying Wayne Rooney hasn't peed since 2013.
Did I say that?
Oh, he hasn't peed in public.
You know, really, Joe, it's about the ongoing issue of this around event. I live around Croke Park Stadium, and it is an ongoing issue.
Oh my God,
and has been for, you know, a decade, really. And it is it is the behaviour of people that we need to call out here, because that's what it is, and it's not just your urinating, it's other things as well, and particularly in the laneways.
So it's a laneway near Croker. Is it normally open, or is it closed on non-match
days? Some of them are closed on match days, but it's outside the match days when there's other events that they're not closed. See, don't forget the laneways are only closed for bigger events.
Yeah,
and then the concert promoters actually put extra toilets in, but not enough in most cases, because people are still looking to urinate all over the place. And it happens, people are doing it in people's gardens, up against front doors, against walls and all that type of thing. And it really is not a very good habit.
And have you read...
Well, I think it's been normalised a little bit, to be very honest with you, with the likes of, say, you know, Wayne Rooney doing what he does.
And as you say, well, I don't know who told me, he was caught before and doing it in public in 2013, so it's not the first.
I understand yeah, absolutely.
So have you brought it up, the issue, and what response?
I have been doing that for over a decade,
And what response did you get?
It's a combination of the event space taking responsibility, the police, because it is an offence, I understand, a public order offence, and it's an exposure offence. You know, there's kids walking by these people doing this as well. So it is an offence, and I think everyone needs to step up and do their part. And also the concert promoters are responsible. They need to take responsibility for the people that are attending the events. And they don't like doing this type of thing, you know, anything outside the walls of the event space, and they don't really want to take any responsibility for.
Okay. Croke Park say we take this very seriously. We've had no complaints around recent fixtures. We would order the complainant to contact the Croke Park community team via the stadium website, and we have a community team on duty outside the stadium, significant guard presence, etc.
Yeah, but the issue, Joe, there
and they
is,
agree.
Nobody,
surprise, they agree that it's disgusting.
Yeah, and nobody calls the line, because there's not much point if you find somebody peeing up against your wall. By the time somebody comes round, they're gone. You know, it's more of a
CCTV. Not that would get you anywhere. CCTV, no. Paul.
If it was monitored. Yes, that would help. But then, you know, I think it's a bigger. I think it's bigger than that. I think we need to look at people's behaviour,
which is
in public.
Yeah, which stay with us because that's Ursula's point. Ursula, what did you witness? Stay there, Paul. Ursula Hughes, what happened?
Hi, Joe. I witnessed. I was sitting in my room at the computer.
Yeah.
Just looked out the window, and there was this man, like I'd say, fairly middle aged. He walked in the driveway, and he squeezed in between a camper van and a Jeep, which we had parked in the driveway.
Okay, oh God,
and
yeah.
the way he looked sideways, he'd done it before, obviously, and got in there and started fiddling with himself, and that was it. Walked back out again, and I just went out the gate after him. And well,
fair
we
lived near you followed him.
I followed him to see where he was going, and he crossed the road and went into the school opposite me and got into his car. He was obviously collecting children from school.
So it was. So he wasn't. He couldn't put up. Not that it is. He couldn't put up drink as an excuse.
No, it's the middle of the day, about half one, either the half one or the half two break.
Okay.
I couldn't believe it. You know.
And if you had got face to face,
I was asking what was he doing in on our yeah. property? Like, had he no sort of like shame?
No home to go to.
No home to go to. Like, if he was parked in the school over there, he was obviously collecting children. He could have been a grandfather, but he wasn't that old. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I have never seen him again. But anyway,
and as you say, it was broad daylight. So the excuse,
broad
if there
daylight,
is,
a, middle,
if,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you try and reach for an excuse, is mm-hmm. not even there. Okay, Ursula, good to meet you, Margaret. Ursula, using Paul Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Ciarán, you've an idea. Go ahead.
Yeah, there is a system that can be used to block phone and internet signal. It's used in some cinemas and in, what do you call it, restaurants.
Okay.
And as Inroad Éireann are in the process of buying new rolling stock, it could be put into each one of the carriages and switched on and off as need be.
What?
But
I read up some of the spec on the new car. But they're on Tribe from Dublin to draw at the minute,
yeah.
Out of Inchicore. But the new carriages, they boast more technology, not less. More technology, Wi-Fi, charging stations.
Yeah.
But anyway, but you say one
thing. Surely this wire would be more technology again.
Okay.
Because and they can switch it on and
yeah,
off.
Yeah, but my memory, Ciarán, briefly is that it was introduced in a few cinemas and they had to get rid of it because they needed a licence. Ray McDonough is there to finish. Ray, thanks, Ciarán. Ray, your point, please.
Joe, talking about trains again, just travelling from Moscow to Helsinki on a train, and after we went through the Finnish-Russian border, joined in the carriage by two guys who proceeded to interview each other on what that time was a tape recorder, and I asked them why they were doing that.
Yeah.
And one was the presenter of the morning drive time show, and the other was the presenter of the evening drive time show. And they had just visited that part of Russia, which used to be part of Finland and had recently opened up at the time. And they were visiting families that had been split and that sort of thing. So then they asked me where I was from, and I said I was Irish. And one of them exclaimed, "Oh, Radio Nagalta."
Oh, fantastic.
I said, "You know it." And he says, "Yes, I spent 6 months there learning the radio trade."
Isn't
and he proceeded
fantastic.
To talk to me. He proceeded to talk to me in Irish. Basic Irish, like Conestart to Cowell, McDowell, that sort of stuff.
But why were they interviewing each other? Why was, you said there's two men, why was Gavin Jennings and Cormac O'Hara interviewing each other?
One was interviewing one for his show and the other was interviewing his for his show to give their thoughts of visiting the families
brilliant,
that had been split
brilliant.
Up.
Okay,
And then after I said I was Irish, they addressed me in Irish, one of them having spent 6 months in Connemara.
And the rest of the journey was convivial, I presume?
The rest of the journey, the guy produced a bottle of vodka and some glasses. And yes, we reached Helsinki in good form.
So they were visiting a part of Russia that had been was originally a part of Finland. Let's hope it doesn't happen again. Originally a part of Finland, and Russia took it, and that's why today, I presume, as you probably know, on the Finnish and Swedish and all that part of the world, they are on high alert, and the conscription is back in some of those countries because of their fear of Russia. But because, as you say, as you've now pointed out, that narrative, it happened before. Okay, Ray. Thanks indeed, Ray. Slán. Okay. That's Ray McDonough, Kieran Dunn on sound, Jim O'Donoghue is the broadcast coordinator, Jim O'Donoghue Martin, researcher Richard Byrne. The producer is Sean O'Gorman.
Live on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Refresh your home this spring with new curtains. Explore our stylish collection now at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.